Part 3 of the interview with Benjamin Kinnerick. Did you ever get any formal, like, school education for photography? Like, I know that you're saying that you started out with a lot of luck, but did you ever end up going to a school to learn more about, like, studio lighting and setups, or was it all self-taught?
No, never. Everything was by accident. Never assisted anybody. All of my lighting techniques were learned by accident. So as a result of that, in my first 2 years, if I shot something and it looked great, I'd stick it in my book. If a client said they want that, they want me to replicate it, I couldn't, and I was losing 50% of the jobs that I was getting. Because I couldn't replicate the accidents I was making. So as a result of that, I developed some very strange techniques that no one else can do, and it's really very much my own signature. So no, I never studied. When I went to architectural school, what I did learn was how to develop black and white film, but they basically, we got a group price. We bought a camera, I think it was a 50 millimeter lens, and the reason we got that was to go out and shoot architectural details on buildings and, you know, to catalog. It was basically a tool. So no, we were not. I never received any formal education. No, not at all.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my techniques. I wrote a long, you probably read the article about my going into a camera store and them giving me bad advice, and that bad advice, as a result of that bad advice, it became a style that only myself, you know, when people come up with ideas, there are many people around the world who perhaps come up with a similar idea for, by different means, but it's, we're all, it's kind of a synchronicity of sorts. But in 1986 or 7, I started doing it actually in New York in 83, but I was given some really bad advice, and I was looking for a certain type of solution to develop my film for Cibachrome. I was given bad advice, and I ended up doing cross-processing, which is C41, which is taking slide film and developing it into negative film. And as a result of that, I kid you not, I landed, because of that bad advice given to me by graduate students from Ryerson University, it's called now, it was called Ryerson Polytechnic at the time, because of the poor advice and them going yuck, 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 as a result of that, I landed one of the biggest campaigns of my whole career. And I'll just say this, that what I made in 18 days shooting Le Bon Marché is what most people make in 10 years.
Wow.
And I kid you not, I think I made close to 1.3 million francs at the time. I was close to $350,000 for 18 images, and they were all in C41. And I remember going back to Toronto and going back to the same camera store, and the same guys were working there, and I said, thank you for your advice. It was the best bad advice I've ever gotten, and then they knew who I was by that time. They knew my name, and their jaw dropped, and I smiled and I said, listen, thank you for the best bad advice I've ever gotten in my whole life.
That's funny.
Hit me again, Philip.
All right. I know that you shoot a lot of fashion and things like that, but if you had a chance, would you switch to any different type of photography, like maybe photojournalism or like documentary type of photography?
Okay. I have done portraits, but it's not my thing. I've shot quite a few actors and actresses, but it's not my thing. How can I put it? I'm not a very good snapshot photographer. I mean, I find myself laughing at myself. Today, for example, I was out on, I'm going to get to a point here, I'm taking tourist pictures. You know, I keep forgetting I'm living in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and I realize I'm here, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be a tourist today. I'm going to go down to the Seine and go to Place Concorde and take pictures. And I found myself doing probably what anybody else does. I'm a pretty good photographer. When it comes to, there are a lot of much better, incredible photographers who do what you perhaps do, and do what a lot of the people I've seen on the forums do, that I'm blown by, and I'm sure they think I'm patronizing them when I say this is incredible, but it is. My venue is very precise. I'm a fashion beauty still life photographer, and I'm, and that implies advertising. No, that's what I do, and that's what I want to do, and I really don't want to do anything else. In terms of reportage, I can do reportage, but my saying it to you doesn't feel right. I don't feel I'm being honest. I know I can try, but no, I need the production. I'm more and more becoming that kind of photographer where in most cases my cameras are sitting in my bag until my next shoot that I'm doing for publication. Uh-huh. But I'm actually trying to relearn photography where I'm going to go out and I don't know if it makes sense to you. How can I say it? It would be like a Formula race driver who doesn't like to drive. And the only time he likes driving is when he's on the racetrack.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he doesn't have a driver's license. It really pampers my ego. I love the production. I love because every time I do a photo shoot, it's an event, and it's a serious event. It's something. For me, it's a landmark because every time I do a photo shoot, it has to be the best that I've done. And often the stuff that I do shoot gets exposed. Like I have another exposition. Anyways, the point I'm making is when I shoot, it has to be art. Now, and I'm not saying that shooting landscape is not art, and it is, and it's probably as valid or more so than what I do, but it is just not what I do. I don't think I do it very well. I get lucky sometimes. I think I have a good sense of composition, and I certainly don't have any technical problems, and so I know about life. But I love taking pictures, but it's not the same thing. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. I guess I like the pomp and pageantry of being a fashion beauty photographer.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about it, I think that doing something like that would be a lot of fun. But, I was just curious if you ever considered doing another field like that.
Yeah, that's been asked of me frequently. I mean, I've had friends of mine saying, Canaric, why don't you do portraits? I did a favor of my lawyer friend of mine, and they had a horrible pamphlet. And so please try to understand, this is not a job. I mean, because if I had to charge them, it wouldn't be, you know. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine, my lawyer, and he said, we looked at this pamphlet, you know, he's going on the internet. And I said, this stuff is horrible, Stefan. You look. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, Stefan, I'll shoot it for you. And so I went to his office, and it was totally weird. I just did it for him. I set up my lights, and they were blown away because I gave them. I put all of my energy into shooting it the way I would treat a fashion shoot. It's funny, you know. And I retouched them, and they look awesome. And it was a portrait shoot. But I gave them all of the energy I would normally give anyone if I were to do a shoot that was a production. So I had fun doing it, and it tired me out like any shoot does. I guess you know if you do a serious shoot, it's emotionally exhausting. Uh-huh. It knocks the shit out of you because it's so demanding. And you know what you're up against, and you know if you screw up, and I don't mean technically screw up. I mean if something's wrong with the image, if one element in the team is weak, you are totally effed. You're gone. Because the people I'm competing with in my venue are the best in the world. I'm competing with the best photographers in the world, bar none. And so And I mean that because, you know, I'm being seen in magazines worldwide, and if my stuff, and it'll get published even if it's mediocre, because mediocre, by my standards, might be just great for someone else. But I know when I'm faking it. I mean, I can fake it. Even when I'm feeling shitty, or if I got a real bad cold, I can fake it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can fake a good shoot, but it's not a good shoot. A good shoot for me is something that I've done that I've never done before, that is surprising to me, and that has a theme to it and is strong. And what strong means is very subjective, you know? Mm. So I love photography. I love photography. I just hate the fucking... Oh, pardon me, I hate the business. Business is another story altogether.
Yeah. I was actually just at a News Photographer Association convention yesterday for Wisconsin, and they had a guy, I forgot his name right now, but he was talking about how he used to be able to get thousands and thousands of dollars from stock photography, and how like the business industry has changed so much that now like all the a lot of like online stock photography and other businesses are just paying nothing now for photography, and how it's going like the price is going way down. And I just found that interesting. You just reminded me of it when you're saying that you hate the business part, because...
Well, Philip, guess what? It's exactly like the music business. It's exactly the same. By that I mean, look, post-production has become a very big part of photography. Now, look, I'm an artisanal photographer, which means what generally 99% of the time, what you see, what I shoot on the set is what you're going to see in the final image, unless, of course, I want something different. My point is this. I recently went to a retouching house. They were trying to get me to do business with them. And they showed me some before and afters. Oh, man, I'll tell you. And they showed me a before beauty shot, and I looked at this image. I looked at the image, and the guy said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, it's flat. It's basically a piece of cock." And they started laughing. He said, "Well, you want to see the after?" I said, "Yeah." And he showed it to me, and I was blown. I thought, okay. So this is what I am up against. Now, this is what I'm up against. This is the reality of the business today. The reality is this. The photographer is no longer the last link in the process. Okay? The last link in the process, just like shooting a movie, a high-end movie today. Unless that changes, unless people go, "I'm fed up with this crap. I'm fed up with post-prod. I want to see the real thing." And there might be a backlash, but bottom line is this. When I do a shoot, I'm able to at least say to the client, "Hey, look, at least when I stick my card into the computer, because I don't like tethering, you're going to see your image." And they like that. They like to know that the photographer doesn't have to say, "Well, imagine it's going to look like this when I'm finished." That's one argument in my favor. So, as a result of that, so imagine you're able, I'm not stroking myself, but yeah, I think I'm a very competent photographer, which means that if I'm giving a retoucher a really good base to work from, the retouch is even going to be better. It's going to look better because I'm giving them all the material, I'm giving them all of the texture. It's already there. They have some material to build from, okay? But if you give someone a retoucher a flat gray background with flat lighting, and they have to reintroduce all of the contours, and they have to literally do a virtual lighting on that image, well, the client's going to have to end up paying probably up to two or three times more money for the time spent in the retouch, which is $1,200 per hour. So, pardon me, $1,200 per image, which is usually about 3 hours per image. Or they can work with me, and they will be able to complete the image in a third of the time. So the reality is this. I'm getting my retouching chops down really tight, and I'm working with a retouch artist named Freddie Baby, who's incredible. And we're almost a team now. It's like I'm saying to her, "Look, you know, for photo credits..." So she gets credit on every single job that's done. So the post-prod artist, I say artist, is as important as a photographer today.
Yeah.
As is the hairstylist, as is the makeup artist, as is the fashion stylist, as is the model. If any one of those elements fall, the whole story dies. It's just finished. It smacks of non-professional cuck. So, you know, I'm just lucky to be in one of the two or three best cities in the world for talent in my venue. This is where all the people gravitate. It's like you want to go in the film business, you move to Los Angeles. You want to be in the fashion business, you move to New York, Paris, and that's it. London is still provincial. The point I'm making is I can get on the phone and I know that I can get the best hair, best makeup, some of the best models in the world. There are more best top models in New York now than there were in Paris now, but they're still available and they're still here. They come in for the shows. And so I can get them. That's why my images look the way they do. It's not because I'm a great photographer. It's because I have a great team. I have a great team. And if I didn't have that great team, trust me, my pictures would look pretty god-awful. Because if you had to stick me, sorry, no offense, but if you had to stick me in Wisconsin, and I had to work with the talent that was available in Wisconsin, my pictures would suffer as a consequence. I would have to be much more strict in directing them as to what I want. Mm-hmm. And being that I'm not a hairstylist or a makeup artist, and being that Wisconsin doesn't have access to some of the clothing that we have in Paris or New York, then my point is that, honestly, Philip, I'll be quite honest with you. I could bring you to Paris, even if you use the most simple lighting, Philip, and I swear to God, I could stick you in a studio. Let's say you just used whatever you want. Let's say, okay, Philip, you want to do a real simple Richard Avedon type lighting, single umbrella, up high, gray background. You just want to umbrella light your background left and right. Fine. Now, here's what I'll do. I'll call up Next Model Agency, or I will call Woman or IMG and say, Philip is doing a shoot for blah, blah, blah. We want when they'll say, well, what's the story? What kind of girl are you looking for? Well, okay, the story is, it's going to be a story about a global warming. We're doing a global warming story. So basically, we're going to react by doing clothing that, you know, some kind of response to that thing. What color hair you want to look? We don't want a blonde. We want a brunette. But she has to be real tall, and she has to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you'll do. And you wouldn't know how to cast. Sorry, Philip. You think every girl you see is gorgeous, which they are. But I would smell. I can smell what is in fashion now, what kind of a look is. And I would pick out a girl, and you go, man, she's not pretty at all. I say, yeah, but guess what? She is what is happening now. These girls who aren't really pretty. And you'd have to trust me. I would direct you. And you say, okay, Canaric, I'll trust you. So this is a girl. Then I call up, maybe Sylvie Portugal to do the clothing styling. I would get the best fashion stylist. Now, what does a fashion stylist do? She knows what all of the major designers are coming out for the next collection. She would go and see them. She would choose clothing. That could be Dior. It could be Victor and Rolf. It could be Karl Lagerfeld, it could be Versace, it could be Gucci, whatever. And she or he would pick out these incredible clothes, and I would say to her, I want it to be real cutting edge, I want it to be really ballsy, I want it to be strong, I want to really make a statement. We're talking about global warming, I want it to be really strange, and I want to have... So she would understand the story. That's, you know, could be her, it could be anybody. But a good fashion stylist. Then I would call a great hair artist and makeup artist. And we'd have everyone on the set. And all you would do, Philip, just make sure, Philip, that you're in focus. And that you also, I would say to you, Philip, 9 times out of 10, because these models work so much, they know what to give you. You brief them. Philip, you're not in the position to tell them how to pose. I never tell models how to pose unless they're really gorgeous, but they're just starting. And sometimes I've taken that risk, and it's been good because I know how to direct them. And you just have to sit on your, wherever you are, just like Walter Chin does. He's the most transparent photographer I've ever known. And I would just say, Philip, just trust the model. Trust the stylist. Let the stylist come in. She's worked for Vogue. She's worked for Harper's Bazaar. She's worked for Elle. She's worked for Marie Claire. You've got a kick-ass team. All you've got to do, Philip, is make sure your exposure's right. And make sure you snap the shutter and make sure she's in focus when you want to capture that image. And that will be your form of expression. You are capturing the image at that moment in time that you feel is appropriate. And that will be you. You're the one who's pressing the shutter. You decide when you've captured that moment. And I can promise you, Philip, as a result of that team, you'll come out looking so incredibly, worldly professional. Because you have a top-notch team. And that is, I kid you not. And that is the point of when I met with Pentax and said, let's build a studio at the show. Let's have people who want to be photographers, fashion or beauty. And I said, I refuse to take pictures. I will not do that. It is not good for my reputation. I am not there to show them how to take pictures. I'll be there. If they want to ask me some questions, I'll be there as a consultant. I'll be there in the flesh. They want to talk to me because they're going to be, you know, exposing all my images at the salon. But, you know, they're going to have a real team, a real top-notch hair makeup artist. The model will not be top, because there's no way a model would do that kind of thing, but they'll be that good that they're actually existing and living in Paris as models. So if they're able to be with a good agency in Paris, it means they're really good. It means that they're maybe younger and they're just starting. The point I'm making is, so that's basically what we're going to try to do in October. So that's my point. My point is basically that there's no secret. And I've given you the secret. The secret is be in the right place where all of the talent is. And that's why I see so many frustrated photographers who contact me. I have this little forum on Yahoo, and there are some really good shooters who shoot better than I do, they're really super young, and they've got an incredible attitude. The way they shoot is so, you know, it's not as heavy as what I do. It's just different, and I love it. But the reason their stuff isn't getting published is because they don't have all of the tools they need to really make it. Uh-huh. You know, if you want, I don't know, if you want Robert De Niro for your film, you got to go to Hollywood and get Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro is not going to shoot a film unless he knows that the whole team that's shooting the film are as competent as he is.
Huh. Yeah. But yeah, it was awesome talking to you. You answered the questions in way more depth than I expected, so I've learned a lot. No, it's a good thing. I mean, I've learned a lot in this last hour or so. So
okay, you right. Take care, and all thanks right. For taking up spending time with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.